Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
You've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the
the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Welcome back to it, hour three, wherever you might be listening across the Triple M network or via the Triple M NRL app. We do it thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Of course, Tyre Power, who bring us the scores for these two games this afternoon. Penrith, Newcastle, all up into the Doggies and Manly up there on the Central Coast. Tyre Power, we love you guys. KO is the ticket for the best seat in your house. And this hour, Paul Kent has gone. We call it the happy hour when Paul's gone. We call it the happy hour. So it's happy hour on Triple M with Gordy Tallis, James Triceps Hooper, and our old mate Nathan Brown in off the interchange bench. Hello, Brownie.
Hey, Maroon.
Fantastic. Before we start getting into the nuts and bolts, Nathan, at the last time we had you in here, you kind of had a gig consultancy assistant coaching role with the Warriors. Has it gone a bit pear-shaped because of COVID-19?
Yeah, pretty much, eh, Maroon. So I spoke to the Warriors staff last night after the game. They were back at the motel, but, yeah, I was sort of flying in and out. So blokes like myself, you know, pretty much become redundant with the new rules, I suppose, with the COVID, COVID virus.
So you weren't able to really do anything, mate?
Not really, mate. And they had a win, so it was probably better I wasn't there, Maroon.
So where does that leave you, Brownie? Like, if a coaching job come up, and I'm not alluding to anything, you don't have anything that ties you to the Warriors?
No, nothing that ties me anywhere, Maroon. And, you know, even if something ever did pop up for me, but, you know, when you work in a role that I work in, you know, rugby league's most people involved are pretty fair people, and, you know, the opportunities are limited in our game. So when they do come up, everyone generally works things out anyway.
Mm.
Have you still got the bug, Brownie? Like, you're one of the great blokes in the game, but geez, it's a hard job.
Yeah, it's a tough gig, it's one of those ones, like, I still got a desire to do it. I can contribute to helping clubs out, so I'd still like to do it again. But coach is one of those things where, you know, someone's got to think you're the right person for that club, you know. It's not something you can promote yourself into.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you see some players try and talk themselves into a State of Origin team. At the end of the day, you play your way into them, and you know, whether someone sees you as the perfect fit for a club, that's what you need.
Yeah, and Brownie, you made the point on the back end of your time with the Newcastle Knights, it's important for a coach to try and leave the place better than he started there. So at the end of the day, it's probably, you know, it's just as important as winning a premiership to get the right culture into the joint.
Well, if you don't win a premiership, you know, at the end of the day, that's everyone's goal, has got to be to win a premiership. You know, some coaches have been bagged when they've won a premiership and left a club not in such a great state, but at the end of the day, they wouldn't have won the comp, you know. So you've got to, you know, winning a comp's the number one thing, but if you don't win a comp, you certainly have to leave the club a lot better for the next coach, so then hopefully the next coach can win a comp. That's your challenge.
Okay. Can you add any light to the St. George Illawarra Dragons thing? I know you've been out there listening to what our guys said, these guys said.
Oh, look, there's numbers things to look at if you break down yesterday's performance. And, you know, for me yesterday, obviously my involvement with the Warriors, obviously I was happy for the Warriors to win. But the Warriors had four forwards who'd played two games each. So under the new rules, I thought that would be a real difficult task for the Warriors to beat the Dragons. But they went, you know, 44 from 44, which I've never seen before. So you can look at it one way, that great work by the Warriors, but at the end of the day, the Dragons forwards should see that as an embarrassment for me, you know. So, you know, you're not talking about bad players, are you? Talking about, you know, two Origin back rowers, State of Origin front rower. You know, Corbin's been around the game a long time now. You know, your big numbers, they have to win the advantage line, and they've got to play with desire. And for me yesterday, I didn't see that from the Dragons forwards. You know, obviously, their coach is under a fair bit of pressure. We all know that. He's a good mate of all of ours, you know, I think, you know, so you don't like to see that. But I thought, you know, at the moment the Dragons go bad, and Ben Hunt. He's the first person to get hung out to dry for me. I find that a little bit sad. I know he's not going great, but the Dragons forwards could probably help him a bit, I reckon. I said to someone the other day, you know, Donald Trump will blame him for the coronavirus soon. Like, he gets the blame for everything.
Yeah.
Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
He does. He gets hung out, you know.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, and you look at, yeah, you know, I look at a player like Corey Norman, you know, very talented, drifted from club to club a bit, gets paid good money because he's a talent. He's played two semi-finals in his whole career. You know, at what stage does Corey Norman sit down and maybe have a chat with the Cooper Cronk and stop being a cool cat and actually be a player that plays good every week, you know, a good, consistent player, which helps his club, helps his coach, helps the fans, you know. But, you know, Corey at some stage has to become a good top-line player, you know, because he's got the talent, he's played Origin, he always gets a gig, but he's left Parramatta. They're going hopeless. Parra's come good. He's gone to the Dragons, who've gone backwards.
Mm.
So at some stage, some of these players need to, you know, maybe just look at how I'm preparing and how I see the game, you know, because at the end of the day, they're all good earners. I know the coach has got to accept his responsibility, but if some of these players are also good, why are they not playing finals footy ever?
Mm.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know.
What did you think, Brownie, about Mick Ennis, whose opinion we love and respect, is suggesting that maybe Ben Hunt could start the game from the bench?
Well, if you look at, you know, Ben Hunt, as I, you know, I know Ben Hunt's, we all agree, he's not playing great. First of all, what everyone's got to do is stop looking at his pay packet. If he is on a reported $1 million, that's, you know, I don't personally believe there's probably four or five players in the game that are worth $1 million. So not everyone can play to a price tag of $1 million. That's not Ben Hunt's fault he got that money.
No, absolutely
it's not. The challenge for, you know, I suppose the Dragons staff and playing group and Ben Hunt is to get Ben Hunt to play his best football. And that's not, if it's makes him worth 700 or 600, take away the $1 million and just get him to be the best player he can be.
Yeah.
Now, Ben Hunt's is a player who's can play obviously better than what he is playing at the moment, but you know, Mick's point certainly is valid. I like what Mick said, that it doesn't matter if he's on $1 million, how can you get him playing good? That was a real good message, I thought. It's who do you play with Ben Hunt? You know, Ben Hunt had his best year of footy when at the Broncos. He had Darius Boyd at fullback. For the influence Darius Boyd's had on players over their career. If you look at Jamie Sowell, played his best footy when Darius Boyd was at fullback. Jared Mullen had his best 3 or 4 months of footy when Darius Boyd was fullback because he could help the halves out with their game. So Ben, he certainly needs some help. You know, have they got the right players there to help him? Is he playing his right position? They're probably all for the coach and staff and the playing group to get, but obviously it's not quite working at the moment. But, you know, Corey Norman, I think he can help Ben Hunt a lot more than what he probably does as well.
Mm. What about this, Brownie, from the new rules that we've seen come into effect this round of the footy? So I can say how I feel as a bloke that just loves the game, just watches the game, or we've got Hoops or Kenny as journalists, but you as a bloke who was only coaching an NRL club at the back end of last year, what do you think of the changes?
I think it's good. I like the fact the pace of the game's picked up a little bit. I like it seems like there's some more spaces on the field. It certainly helps smaller players, little people, with the quickness of it. If they can cut that interchange back a bit, that'll probably help it again. You just got to be careful that it doesn't get too quick so that you get all sides just having five dummy half runs, because if it does get too quick, that can become a thing, you know. But, you know, at the moment what you've got is you've got groups of players who are probably frightened to give away the six again, so there's people jumping off, but, you know, coaches are probably going to learn over the next 6 or 8 weeks how to try and bend the rules a bit, and it's going to be important for the referees to be, I suppose, capable of recognising that, you know. But it certainly looks quicker. It certainly looks a little bit more open, and I've enjoyed watching the footy that's been played. Like the Tigers-Cronulla game, for example. Yeah, I thought that was exciting to watch. Obviously, if you're a Cronulla fan, you wouldn't like it, or a Cronulla coach, but from just a pure footy fan, it was good to watch the Canberra-Melbourne game yesterday, and when, you know, Canberra ended up winning, but they had to save half a dozen tries to win the game, you know, so it wasn't a, it was 18-6 game of footy, but geez, Canberra's scramble defence is what sort of got them the victory, I believe. You know, so Melbourne still opened them up plenty of times, so there was still plenty of breaks where it wasn't an 18-6 game where there was no line breaks. There was plenty happening, you know, so, and that's what we all want to see.
Yeah, but the Brownie, and you make some great points about coaches are going to start to work out systems and ways to rort it, but the best thing I saw was Titans-Cowboys. The referee just pointed to the sin bin, and the player just got up and walked. I think it was Cohen Hess once, and I think Mitch Dunn might have been the other player. They got to just keep on using the sin bin. So if you want to slow it down, go. Because we all got to agree, the product that we are watching is unbelievable. The ratings are up. Everybody's enjoying it. We're seeing football. We're watching the little guys come back into the game. A halfback take on and make a break up the middle of the ruck. And that's, it, mate, it's been since Alfie or Greg Alexander. You know, like a halfback really taking on a front rowers. Tired, lazy, big, fat front rowers. Well,
what you got to see in a lot of the games on the weekend is if you go back to Friday night, you know, you saw Drinkwater and Valentine Holmes have a big impact on the game. Then you watch the next game and, you know, Tedesco and Keary had a huge impact on the game. You know, these are smaller people who understand footy and move well. So they're the types of blokes that we want to be helping sides win games. We had, you know, young George Williams yesterday, the young English import, you know, have a really big impact on the game. You know, and there's no doubt the little bit of extra time certainly helping. And I think we'll see different sides maybe, if it does stay like this, you know, sides that have big men that dominate the advantage line to get the ball before the better players, you know, they're probably not going to do as well as the sides where the best players get the ball on the advantage line early.
What do you reckon it'll do to the Melbourne Storm, Brownie? Like, they've had so much success over the course of the last decade. And a lot of it has hinged around the fact that, you know, they drill their defensive techniques into the entire unit and into the team on an industrial scale level to try and gain an advantage in and around all that ruck area and slow that, play the ball down. What does it do for a Melbourne Storm?
Oh, look, I think the Storm will just adapt. You know, they're not going to change their techniques. They're probably if you watch them actually in their contact and their winner, they're cleaner than most of the teams because they are better than it. They'll just adapt to getting off a little bit quicker, and their players that have been well coached and their players that are very good players will do really well. And if you look at yesterday's game, like Canberra got them at the start of the game quickly, you know, led 12-0. But as I said, then Canberra won off the back of great scramble D. You know, they actually made it plenty of breaks. The Storm, they actually opened them up plenty of times. Dropped it over the line, got pulled down just short a few times. So I don't think it's going to have as big an impact as what people think on those really good teams. I think, you know, for the Rooster haters out there, the Roosters are going to be there at the end of the year if they stay fit. You know, as long as Keary and Tedesco stay fit to help guide young Flanagan through, they're going to be there at the end of the year. You know, they showed that last 2 years. If Cooper didn't play but Keary and Teddy played, or if Cooper played and Keary didn't and Teddy played, they beat most sides because they've got good systems going, they've got good players, and those good sides will adapt to it and play good footy because they're good players.
The other two forwards, just speaking of the Chooks, Jared Weyrie-Hargraves and Boyd Cordner, you wouldn't swap them for any other forwards in the competition.
Outstanding players. And what about Victor Adley the other night? I was a bit critical of some of the Dragons' intent, some of their forwards. Like, watch Victor Adley and watch his intent the other day in defence. Like, if he could have been on the field for the Dragons yesterday, like the Warriors wouldn't have went 44 from 44 because he gets you looking, Vic, you know. And those blokes, as you said, Jared and Boyd, you know, they're three-time premiership winners, you know. I mean, Gordy got lucky winning three games. He's just lucky he played with good players, Gordy. But you don't fluke a grand final, let alone three, and Jared and Boyd have been a big part of that club for a long, long time. They play with intensity every week.
Yep.
Nathan Brown joining us for the final hour of the show. We call it the happy hour when there's no Paul Kent. So it's the happy hour, Sunday sin bin, with Nathan Brown.
Call it the Sunday hour.
James Triceps Anthony.
One day he's going to turn the car around and walk back in. You realise that?
He knows.
He'll win that. Anthony will win that fight by at least 200 metres.
See, you don't have to bloody back him now.
No, you put the slipper in when he's not here. That's your style.
How do I put the slipper in?
Your bag,
I'm reading what it says on the presentation sheet here.
It does.
The presentation sheet says when Paul Kent's not here, it's the happy hour.
Oh, you made it up.
We'll take a break, come back and preview these two games this afternoon as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Woo! The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Sunday Simbi.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. And thank you for joining us right up and down the east coast of Australia through Triple M Townsville and Cairns. And, of course, Triple M Fraser Coast at Triple M in the beautiful Whit Sundays. And then across to Toowoomba, Triple M Brisbane, where Gordy is now 104.5. Down to the Gold Coast, Triple M. Across the border, Moffs Harbour, as we like to call it, up there at Coffs, where Moffy is. Our man Strawny at Port Macquarie. Then inland we go to the beautiful city of Orange, the Riverina, Newcastle, Central Coast. It's just spreading like wildfire, the mighty Triple M NRL. Results so far, Eels 34, Broncos 6, Cowboys 36, Titans 6, Roosters 28, South 12, Warriors 18, Dragons 0, Tigers 28, Sharks 16, Raiders 22, Storm 6. And those scores are all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. You get $100 off when you buy four selected Cooper tyres. And when we were going around the ground there, Hoops, we missed the sugar capital, the great Triple M Mackay. So thank you for listening as well. Okay, let's preview this game, which is the Knights and the Panthers. Brownie, a couple of big outs for both these sides. Obviously, no Nathan Cleary, no Kalen Ponga. Who do you like?
I like the Knights here. I think the Knights are one of the better bets around. And you look at the prices. If I wasn't working for the Warriors, I'd have had a little dabble at the Knights if I was allowed to gamble. I think, you know, if you look at the two halves that Penrith have got, you got young Burton, who's played one game, who looks a fine tunnel. He's played one. Luai, he's played 15 or 20. And they're up against Mitchell Pearce, who's played 270 games and probably played 260 pretty good ones, you know. So I think, you know, Mitchell's ability to control the game with his kicking will probably have a huge impact on the game. Both sides' forward packs look nice and strong. Both have got some good young backs playing, but I think Mitchell Pearce will be the difference. That's my opinion, yeah.
Hoops?
Yeah, I like the Knights. I'm leaning towards them. I'll be fascinated. It's going to be a great battle between Mitchell and Big Billy Kickow. We saw he's that destructive, Big Billy. I'd hate to be trying to line him up and bring him down when you're defending. But, you know, Mitchell punches above his weight as a defender, and Billy will be playing on his edge. So, and
if you look at that hoop, sorry for cutting, if you look at Billy Kickow, if you watch yesterday, young Eli Katoa, who's going to be a star for the Warriors, he got one-on-one with Hunt three or four times. You look at a couple of the other games earlier, in the earlier games, a lot of these bigger players, you know, Terapo got one-on-one with, on Thursday night with...
Brady Croft or Milford.
Milford. So because there's a bit more space now and there's a little bit more time to do things, some of these bigger men are starting to get at the smaller men as well. So the small blokes
It's good.
Yeah, well, the small blokes are able to manipulate the defence better, which is helping them, but it's also opening the game up. So Kickow might find himself one-on-one with Pearce, and Pearce is a good defensive player, but they're big men. They're hard to handle.
The little guys put the big guy on the other little guy, so they pick on him, but then now there's a bit of return serve.
100%.
But, you know, an early in the game, when you got your energy, like, the new get at them, but then 10, 15 minutes before halftime, you're starting to look, and then you used to just see the halves and the 5-8s, and they just look to see how tired you are, and then that's when they start coming, and that's what we've been watching.
Hey, who do you like for this one, Gordy?
I'm going to go Knights. I think the Knights will be too good.
All right.
Simply because the spine, you know, like, if you look at all the good wins over the weekend, they're 7, 6, 1, and 9 have been better than the others.
Okay.
I'm glad you raised the spines, Gordon. I was a bit surprised because they've signed Andrew McCulloch, the Knights, as a late pickup, but they're not playing him today.
Yeah, I can understand that, though, Hoops. He's only just appeared at the club in a very, very important position. I'm sure as soon as they got the news young Brayley went down, I'm sure they would have made a decision pretty quickly that Connor was going to go there in the short term. So the good thing with McCulloch, you know, and where the Knights are at now, the Knights are at a stage now where I thought at the start of the year, I thought they were a genuine top 8 team this year, the Knights. Obviously, Adam O'Brien will take some good stuff, but the squad's stable. Mm. They've added a couple of backs to help improve it. They've got some good young kids ready to play. And what you can't, as a club, keep doing is you can't play people that aren't ready to play, or can't play people that aren't good enough. And McCulloch's, you know, he's not what you'd call a huge attacking threat at the moment, but he's a good defensive player. He gives good service. He's got a lot of experience. So if something was to happen to Connor, I think McCulloch could be a really, really good buy for the Knights because he gives them some experience and stability, and he knows how to play first grade.
Okay, boys, that game is live on the Triple M Network at 4 o'clock, so Dan Ganane will call that one. Did you want to say something, Hoops?
was going to say, speaking of big attacking threats, I think the opposite number nine for the Panthers today, Appy Coruscant, he's going to prove one of the buys of the season. When the competition first began, I thought his combination with Cleary, the way he brings his forwards onto the ball and the direct running threat that he provides out of dummy half, it changed the way that the Panthers were playing.
He's definitely one of the smarter dummy halves in the game now, Hoops. You know, with, you know, Mick Innes gone, obviously you've got a couple of dummy halves, with obviously Cameron, a few of the experienced ones, but, you know, Appy's the premiership winner. He's played plenty of finals footy now. He's very, very, he knows his craft really, really well. And, you know, it's, if you look at it, they let Wade Egan go, who I've got a big opinion of. Wade's going to be a very, very good player, but Wade's only played 20 games. So if Ivan had kept, you know, young Wade there to play with young Jerome Luai with a rookie fullback as well, it just would have put too much pressure on Nathan. So with Appy playing there, what it does is it gives you an experienced hook and an experienced half to help navigate with the young blokes, because, you know, the only bad year the Roosters have had under Trent Robinson's time was when they had two rookie halves playing. Just, you just lose lots of close games because they're not quite savvy enough, you know. But you put Appy with Nathan and they've won two close games. If Appy's not there, they probably lose those games.
Yep.
That's why you're on the big bucks, Brownie. That's why you're on the big bucks. Now, the last game tonight, it's on the trip. I think it's live across Triple M as well. The round mound of sound, Big Ben Dobbin, Triple M's Uncle Buck, will call this one for you. As
the original white end.
As
the, you taught him well, Marie. You taught him well.
Hang on. What are you saying? Are you saying Benny Dobbin's a white ant? Or am I a white ant?
Well, both of you.
How am I a white ant?
You're both on the podium. I don't know who gets gold. I don't know who gets silver.
Well, before
Anthony, that's interesting. Dobbo's calling that game. You're not available for selection?
No, I don't know what happened there, mate. I've actually probably will send a few emails around tomorrow and find out what actually happened. Why
I just sort of overrode you because I'm back in Queensland and I'm calling Sunday's game. So we're up here in Queensland. Mate. So for about 7 weeks, Maroon, you won't get that game, mate. Just letting you know.
Guys, just listen, mate. You don't have, mate.
Look, listen, mate.
Brownie, spare a thought. I mean, everybody talks about Peter Volandis and what he's done for the game. The Warriors, what they've done for the game. Mate, no one's mentioned one of Australia's greats. Kevy Walters has done a 1,900 kilometre round trip with this palooka in a car so he can do his job.
A camera in there, Anthony. Hours of entertainment.
No, camera. Kevy, mate, Kevy was fantastic. You know what? It was funny because we left Fox on Friday night and we drove to Newcastle just so, you know, we could get a couple of hours out of Sydney. It was actually really cool. And then,
hey, Gordy, can you hang on to that? Because we've got some questions for you and the road trip. So if you, those people that are wanting to know all about Gordy's road trip with Kevy Walters, hang on. We're going to find out all about it before we go off at 4 o'clock. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Doggies and Manly as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to all of our friends who helped us put the show together, like the Mitsubishi Triton. You just can't frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. Gordon Tallis, James Hooper, Nathan Brown, Anthony Maroon is my name. Maroon's poll today. We'll get some results on Maroon's poll, but you can still vote at Triple M_NRL or via Triple M NRL Facebook. The poll is, did you like the sound effects, the crowd sound effects in the NRL over the weekend? I said I liked it. Most people seem to be in agreeance with that.
The results are in, Anthony. It's a lay-down mazare. Landslide, people love it.
Right.
People love it.
They've voted with Maroon's poll.
Yep.
They've gone with the poll.
All over. The poll's gone, Burko.
Now, Manly versus the Dogs tonight on the Central Coast. Manly, well, favoured heavily to win this game, Nathan Brown. They would have thought they were going into the season, obviously, with Manasi Fainu, who they no longer have, and they moved another bloke on who would have been very handy there tonight. But how do you see this one?
Yeah, look, I think Manly's a big hope of winning the competition myself. I think they've got, you know, with Cherry Evans and the two Trebojeviches, they've got three of probably the top 12, 15 players in the game, and, you know, three of probably the more influential players in the game. Obviously, losing young Feeney as a blow, but, you know, Danny Levi has come in and he'll do a really good job from Danny. And I think, you know, a change of club for Danny is good. I think, you know, obviously I made the decision to sign Jaden Braylon. I think obviously Adam O'Brien obviously agreed with letting Denny go. But I think Denny will find football a little easier at Manly. When he was at the Knights, Denny, we had really only had Mitchell Pearce as the main dominant player, where At Manly, he's got Cherry Evans and both Trbojevic's. He's got three real key players, and the ball gets shared a bit. And he's also going to get to play with, you know, two forwards who unload the ball a lot, you know, and so does Jake. You know, the two front rowers and Jake, they unload the ball a lot, and that'll help Denny's best talents come into play. So I think Denny's been a really good pickup for them at the price they got him for.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Trbojevic, the two Trbojevic's and Cherry Evans being two of the, you know, three of the biggest benefactors of this new rule change, because Manly, for me, are the best ad lib on the advantage side in the competition.
You'd think it'll suit Tommy Turbo down to the ground, because he just loves that supporting through the middle of the ruck. And with Fanua Blake and Marty Tapau, as you point out, and their ability to offload, it should take his game even further to the next levels.
They're outstanding players, you know. And, you know, Cherry Evans is, you know, he's probably the, you know, along with Kiri, they're probably the two premier halves in the game at the minute. You know, Tom doesn't play for Australia at fullback, obviously, or New South Wales, because Teddy's there. And Teddy, but they find a spot for him in the team, don't they? They still move him to get him in the team because he's such a good player, you know?
Yep.
And Jake Trbojevic is just a super player as well, you know? So, I think, you know, or if they can stay fit, I think Manly can win the comp. I think they'll benefit from the new rules better than most sides.
Okay, and you take them to win tonight?
I think, you know, the Bulldogs will compete hard. They really compete hard for their coach. There's no doubt about that. When you watch them play, they play with plenty of spirit. But, you know, they've got, you know, rookie hookers and rookie halves up against, you know, blokes like Cherry Evans out that are just outstanding decision makers, you know, so it could be a little difficult for them.
Okay, sorry, Hoops.
Yeah, I think Manly might put a bit of a cricket score on, given their inexperience, the Bulldogs, in those key positions.
Hey, a lot of people, Gordy, see Manly as a little bit of a dark horse. Well, how do you see them? Still remembering, of course, this... what's his name? Manasi Fainu.
Yes.
I mean, that's a massive out. That's a massive player to lose.
Well, they let Appy Coruscant go, Anthony, because Manasi was such a good player and Dez was getting so much benefit out of him being in the team last season that they had salary cap issues and they decided they would let him go because Manasi was coming through. But he's since had this incident that he's now got to go in front of the courts about. And that's how Danny Levi has ended up at Manly.
He's a terrific young player, Fainau. He's as good a young hooker as we've seen for a while, I reckon.
Mm.
Yeah, hopefully, if he could get back and work with Danny, it would be a great combination for Manly if he's allowed to come back and play. I don't know the circumstances there, but terrific young player.
I just think Manly, with their depth, that only thing that'll stop them. They're sort of sitting in the long grass, aren't they? You know, like you got the Raiders, you got Parramatta, everybody's talking about, you know, you got the Storm, you got Roosters. But Manly just is just over here. It's just off centre, you know, and mate, they're going to be hard to beat, really hard to beat. They've got quality halves, big, strong forward pack that, you know, they can get their side a roll on. And they got Tom. Tom was making breaks last year before the game quickened up. Anyway, Tommy.
The other good thing about Manly, Gordy, I like all the successful teams that win, they win because they've got a – there's a huge chunk of the squad, and the Roosters don't get enough credit for this because obviously the Roosters had the ability to buy the top end of the market. But you look at the Roosters and the Storms and the sides that are successful for long periods, they have a lot of players in their team. The first grade jumper they wear is the jumper that they play for Manly. So if you look at like the Trbojevic's, Cherry Evans, Adam Fanua Blake, Reuben Garrick now, like if you ask Reuben Garrick, is he a dragon or is he a seagull? He made his debut for Manly. And you can't win a comp unless you've got a good 8 to 10 of your squad that put their first senior jumper on for you, because then they play with passion.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is where the Dragons are not in this situation. The Dragons are in a bit of a situation where they are now. The last time the Dragons won the comp, they had about 10 or 11 blokes who put that jumper on the Dragons for the first time. So they're not there because of the money. They're there because they love the club. And look at the Trbojevic's.
Yeah.
Have a look at them. They love that joint. They're not going anywhere. Mm. They love it. Cherry Evans.
They'd nearly play for nothing. They're that good blokes, Jack and Tommy Turner.
And when you get that, when you get a core group of players, like the Roosters, the last three comps under Trent Robinson, the Roosters have had at least 10 players in every one of those grand finals that made their first grade debut for the Roosters. But people don't give the Roosters that credit because they have the ability to go and buy Kronk and Tedesco, and it gets lost. But that's how you win grand finals. You have to, and that's where the Knights struggled for 20 years because they lost their way with their junior development. And then what you do is you keep bringing in players all the time, big groups of players. You bring in 8-10 players. Then you sack that coach. You bring in another 8-10 players. And all of a sudden, you just don't have any stability at all. Yeah. Manly's got some good stability now with Desi there. And credit to Trent Barrett and Bozo. They did bring some of those players in. They've got nice stability. I give them a really good shot at challenging, you know, the Storms and Roosters and Raiders at the end of the year. They can stay fit.
Okay, the other side of the coin, though, the Doggies hoops, and we constantly hear that the Doggies are rebuilding. They've got a mad chase on now for Bateman.
Yep.
And so I hear, too, maybe Andrew McCulloch will be there next season. So they're building.
I think that's been shot down.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that mail was off the mark. They're certainly in the market for Bateman, but so are the Gold Coast Titans. Mm. The Titans are also, they're going to keep the Bulldogs honest in relation to trying to sign Johnny Bateman. I was leaning more towards he would probably be at Belmore, but I think when Mal Meninga picks a phone up, people listen. So they're certainly in with a shot as well. But look, the thing for the Dogs is, you know, they've been rebuilding for a number of years. I feel for their coach, Dean Pay, because he's been sold a pup, excuse the pun, right, in that he's brought in under the guise that, okay, you know, we're going to clean the joint out, we're going to give you time, we're going to let you rebuild. Then the board that he signed for gets torpedoed out of power. Mm. Lynn Anderson, daughter of Bullfrog, gets back in, gets control of the club, but they still need to turn a lot of players over to be able to free up money to go into the marketplace and try and have a crack at buying some big name talent, and they haven't really got to that point just yet. They got Luke Thompson, the English front rower, coming for next season. Kieran Foran's off contract, so there is going to be some money available for the Bulldogs to spend. But I feel for their coach, because it's a bit like the situation with yourself, Brownie, at Newcastle. You know, like, you've done all the hard yakka trying to rebuild it, but then the club, the power brokers at the club, get trigger happy and want results yesterday. And so sometimes they make hard decisions about the coach.
Yeah, look, it's tough sometimes. I mean, if you look at, you know, two good examples of Parramatta and Canberra with Stick, you know, like they'd had a, you know, 4 or 5 lean years. Parra had one sort of spike year. Rick had one spike year. But what both those clubs were doing at the time was they'd been bad clubs for a long period of time. And as I said about the cycle of turnover of players, and if you look at Canberra's year last year, you know, Stick only brought in a couple of players. You know, your good clubs don't sign many players. The Roosters and Melbourne Storm, they bring in 2 or 3 players each year, transition a couple out, transition a couple in. The clubs that struggle, they'll go through really, really bad periods, stop developing from the bottom.
Chopping and changing
and buying lots of players, and you don't get that stability. So Canterbury's probably still got a little bit of work to do there to give the coach a real fair shot at showing his wares.
Okay, Nathan Brown, Hoops, Gordy Tallison, Maroon, Gordy, everybody wants to hear about the road trip, you and Kevvy Walters, from Brisbane to Sydney, back to Brisbane, and it was like a rock star trip. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll get to that as Triple M rocks the footy.
Marine Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back. We're just about done here. We'll hand over to Dan Ganane for the call of the game this afternoon between the Panthers and the Knights.
Just got an email, Anthony, from Matt from Collaroy.
Right.
He said, could you please thank Anthony? My grandfather, who is gravely ill, is a big fan of your show.
Right.
On my request, Anthony gave her a morale-boosting phone call. The only problem is she lost the invoice he sent her. She asked if he could resend it, and yes, cash will not be a problem.
Oh, that's up your alley.
Yeah.
He's a funny character, that Matt from Collaroy. Isn't
he? He's a good listener, too. He's always listening, which we love. Now,
you're lost for words, are you?
That is right. That's very good. All right. Maroon's poll, 70% of people have agreed with me. They like the sound effects at the footy, and I've got some major meetings being held through the week. I might just have somebody sponsoring my poll. So my poll, someone will put a name to my poll this week, and guarantee it'll be here for a while. And thanks so much, Matt from Collaroy, for your email. And thanks so much, too, to our sponsors, Mitsubishi Triton, Tyre Power, KO, and, of course, Ladbrokes. Now, everybody wants to hear about this road trip. No. Kevvy Walters in a car with you, Gordy. Why didn't you just get on a plane? Why start there?
Well, it's quite boring, obviously, driving a car for 20-odd hours. But the reason is, I think if I get COVID or if I'm on a plane with COVID, well, Fox gets shut down for 48 hours or Triple M or whatever. So it's a little bit dangerous. And if you're jumping on a plane, you're going to obviously get in contact with more people. Myself and Kevvy, who are at home, got young families. We don't go out because nothing's open. So we just drove down together. And the only time we stopped was actually to get petrol and a coffee. So the less chance we get of touching people, we're going to not affect affect, obviously, the Triple M and the Fox boys when we get to Sydney.
Hey, Grah, with the new roads, how long does it take from Newcastle to Brisbane now with all the new roads?
Took 8 hours. Oh,
beautiful
actually,
run.
Yeah,
beautiful
about
run.
8 hours.
Eight hours? What were you in, an HSV or something?
You drive like you stole it.
No, because it's 110 all the way.
Is it?
It's actually 110, and then between Woodburn, is it Woodburn?
Yeah.
Woodburn and Gold Coast, it dropped back down. There was roadworks to 80 and 60, but other than that, it was just two lanes all the way, mate, 110. It's really good drive.
Now, Gordy, I've got to check a little detail about this car trip, and bear in mind the information has come from the Waterloo White Anthony Maroon, so it may or may not be accurate, but he claims that when you're about to go and dive in the car, you also had a little pit stop at a bottle shop and picked up a six-pack of beer and a bottle of red grape.
And then I said to you...
Oh, yes, yeah. That was after Friday night footy. So after Friday night footy, I was going, because we called the early game, and I was going to Fox. So I thought, and the makeup lady's there, so I bought a little bottle of Pinot and I had six beers, and we just sat there and I watched the Roosters and the Rabbits with a couple of beers and finished them off by the time we got to Newcastle. Had a sleep, and we got there about 1 o'clock, and Kevy was joking. I said, at what time you want to leave? He goes, 6 o'clock in the morning. I thought he was joking because that's not a lot of sleep, you know, and it was a long couple of days to get down there. Nice joke. I said, oh, mate, well, why don't we leave at 5? He goes, no, 6 is good enough. And I woke up at 5:50. I texted him, he goes, mate, I'm in the car waiting. So I got down, got in the car, and then I drove, obviously, and about an hour into the trip, like my eyes were stinging. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I've only got another 600 Ks to go. Kevy goes, you wouldn't mind if I have a sleep. So he fell asleep beside me, and he woke up when we got the coughs. Goes, shit, that was quick. I ran off the road 3 times trying to stay awake. I'm winding down the window, putting my head outside like a dog to wake up.
Are you guys going to do that again, Gordy? Is that this week?
Yeah, so we left Thursday. So I got up at 4:30, and we left and did the Fox that night, and we were so excited to come down. And you know, sometimes you got to make sacrifice, and I don't want to stop the shows, you know what I mean? Like, that's that's the thing. It's not about us, it's about the guys that you go and touch, and you know, I'm all the production crew and the makeup ladies. So make sure everybody's safe. So we'll just keep on driving down, and hopefully within a month that they open up the borders and the planes can fly, and I don't have to spend 22 hours in the car each week.
Well, my grandkids live in Brisbane, and I'm really missing them, mate. So in the Fair Dinkum Department, I hope they get these borders open soon. But glad to see you made it back there in one piece, Gordy.
Cheers, mate.
And Nathan Brown, you're staying on for the call this afternoon?
I believe so, Maroon. Looking forward to it.
Well, remember to do those voice
marks. Give him some, yeah.
Mate, voice exercises that tips. I give you. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
How now, brown cow.
A little rouge judiciously used will enhance the facial expression. Brownie, we'll catch you this afternoon with Dan and Wendell. And Hoops, mate, we'll see you tonight.
Outstanding from you today, Anthony.
No, you did a great job.
Points.
Yeah,
brilliant performance.
Okay, well, that's about it from all of us. Of course, Dan will call that game for you this afternoon, Panthers and Newcastle. That should be a cracking good game. Followed up by Ben Dobbin's call with Gordy Tallis of Manly and the Bulldogs live from the Central Coast Stadium. So that's on the Triple M network. And if you haven't got the app yet, make sure you get the Triple M NRL app because we will be here every week. Thanks so much for listening to us today. And thanks to our sponsor, Mitsubishi Triton. They've been around for 40 years. You just can't frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. We'll see you next week as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.